Okay, one large loan renewed, $197,180. They paid, they reduced, no problem. He's handled his line of credit as agreed, so it's pretty routine.
First loan request I have is an existing real estate mortgage that will be refinanced into the secondary market of Fannie Mae. Customer is Tony and Barbara Tucker at 6158 State Street in Northwood, Illinois. They're requesting $84,000 on a 30-year Fannie Mae fixed-rate loan. This would include the cost of doing the refinance, appraisal, title work, and points.
84
even. Their monthly payment of principal, interest, taxes, and insurance would be $761.89 based at the current 30-year rate. They estimate the value of their home to be $110,000. We had an appraisal in 1991 by a certified appraiser that indicates the value of the house was $103,000. 80% of that would make it $82,400. So in order to make them a loan for $84,000, it must appraise for $105,000. So that will be, will determine whether or not we can go the full $84,000 and whether they have to come up with some money out of pocket. Their assets total $116,417. Their liabilities, 83. Their net worth, 31.
So all those the house?
Mm-hmm. They currently have a debt to income of 28 over 27. And after the refinance, they would have a debt to income of 15 over 23.
Where are they now? I missed that. They're 15 over?
No, they're currently 20. Over 27.
Okay.
20 over 27, yeah. I couldn't even read my own writing. It's 20 over 27, okay. And after the refi, it's 15 over 23.
What is acceptable, pretty much? What
28 figure? Over 36 is the maxes.
It's the size.
See, so
it
they're
could
well
go.
Within.
Okay, I just
well
wondered. I always heard the figures and never did know what was high and
right.
Low don't make any difference.
Yeah.
So you said
you're
going to be 15?
Mm-hmm, 15 over 23, so their debt to income isn't a problem. The problem, as I see it, is the value of the house, number one. And the second matter at hand is that in 1987, they had filed a Chapter 11. They had, at the time, a mortgage with us. They reaffirmed on that mortgage. They were never late. We, after that discharge, we even advanced them money to purchase this house on State Street here in Milton, and they've never missed a payment on that loan. I've also made them car loans that they've never missed a payment on, and according to Fannie Mae guidelines, as long as they have been discharged at least 2 years and reestablished and paid as agreed their credit obligations, they would qualify for a Fannie Mae mortgage. With that in mind, I am moving that we approve this loan request subject to a certified appraisal of their home.
Do we have the discharge?
Yes, I have a copy of it.
When was it?
It was discharged on November, 2/23/88. Discharge date was 2/23/88.
When did they file? Didn't you say they filed in 87?
11 of 87.
In 11?
Mm-hmm.
3 months? Whew. It's pretty fast.
Yeah.
What did they do, dismiss it?
It was a business bankruptcy, and I was pretty cut and dried. They just were eliminating the business debt, and apparently nobody objected to the bankruptcy since they reaffirmed with the secured creditors. All the debt that was charged, that was filed bankruptcy against, was unsecured creditors.
And they discharged them before they even performed or anything?
Yeah, in a 3 month, I guess so, in a 3 month period of time, because here's the...
No, I just, it's unusual that they don't require them to, you know, usually they put them on a 2 year or 3 year plan or something.
Mm-hmm. See, from what I gathered is that unsecured creditors got nothing, and the secured creditors just carried on their payment history as agreed, as originally set forth in their contracts.
Usually the plan will provide period of time of protection.
Mm-hmm. But if we've for those unsecured creditors.
Yeah. But if we've got the discharge. Okay. Well,
that's hard to believe because it says that notice of joint discharge of joint debtors. It appears the persons named above filed a petition commencing joint case under Title 11 on November 23rd of 1987. And that an order of relief has been entered. No complaint objecting to the discharge of the debtors was filed within the time fixed by the court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that, 10 minutes? Or?
Yeah.
And,
Saturn, how
and,
done that fast?
And that they're...
we can't get to court for 3 months.
I know. That's ridiculous.
It's dated February 23rd, 1988. That's
okay.
3 months.
I assumed it would have been like 80 or 92 or something. Yeah.
What actually happened to them was she opened a franchise, and it was a franchise of doing packaging, sending from a mall basis, packaging, gift wrapping, and shipping. Well, what happened, they should have gotten into the business, hindsight's 2020, they should have gotten into the business in, let's say, August. And then they would have had a Christmas season. It got to be real complicated, and they didn't get in until February. Well, February they had nothing to do, and I think they hung in there for a year and a half, and they just couldn't see end to it.
February, nobody's shipping anything.
I'll second it.
Okay.
So it's moved and seconded to
approve that loan subject to the. Appraisal by a certified appraisal.
And the max is 84?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Is there only one?
That's the only loan I have.
Okay. I got one small one. The only reason it's in here is because the borrowers already have 303,000 borrowed, so it has to be approved by the board. But if one gets approved today, that'd be two, and then I'll have to call two more. They want to borrow he wants to borrow $4,500 to finish paying off the renovation and upgrade necessary on the daycare. And he had initially thought what he borrowed would do it, and then he borrowed some money from his uncle, and he wants to repay his uncle and get that out of the way. He wants to set it up on a year. It would be secured by 3 vehicles. His debt income is relatively high, but his income is going up. The daycare is scheduled to open a week after the 5th, so around the 12th to 15th of January. He thought he was already opened, and then they came back in and told him he couldn't open because there's articles in the paper, and they showed kids at the daycare, and he had his ads out and everything, but he didn't have all the I's dotted and T's crossed, and the state came back in and said, well, no, we can't really do that. So one group of state people, the people that do the testing for electrical and safety and stuff have been there. Now the state inspector's got to come in. I guess they just look at the quality of the facility, not necessarily the wiring, plumbing, and heating, but is it clean and is it safe and that sort of thing. They're supposed to be there the 5th, and he said that the lady told him that it usually takes a week for them to send a report in and for their license to come back. So he anticipates that they'll be open no later than the 12th or 15th. He gave me some numbers. I can't remember. They've got like 13 or 14 kids that are already taken care of, mostly out of their house until they can get them moved down there, and then they've got 8 or 9 more. So they fully expect income to exceed the projection, but right now they don't have any income other than from his job. So
that's fairly large scale. He's going to have 25 people or something?
Yeah. At least 25. See, they're children.
Yeah, they're expecting that many fairly quickly, and then he hopes to get up around 50. See, they're looking at 4 people plus.
I've gone through the building, and it is a very, very nicely done operation. I mean, there's nothing shoddy about the workmanship or the quality of the material or the cleanliness of the building.
Is that attached onto a storage facility?
No, it's
or
a separate
freestanding building.
Building.
It's, it's a building his dad had where he had
his cabinet shop,
and was living in it, and they converted the living quarters and all that into this thing. It's like anything when you're dealing with, you know, regulators in the state. They, you know, he said they got two ladies for nine counties, and they there's a lot of this going on, and they can only get to so many. So I would move, since it's secured for $4,500, it's on a 12-month repayment, which is relatively short, I would move that we advance the funds.
I'll second it. It's, they owe pretty much, don't they?
$303,000 and some odd dollars. But he's always serviced. I mean, he's never been late. He's always paid his agreed. And they do have the income. It's just right now the income doesn't, well, I say they have it. Once the daycare gets up to 20 people, they'll have enough mm-hmm. income to, they'll fall back under the 40%. But right now they're over the 40 because we can't show any income from the daycare. But you know, I feel comfortable that it's there. And like I said, he's always serviced debt as agreed. And his overall debt is working down. It's just quite a bit of debt.
You just, I guess you can't say too much if they're paying on time.
And I think they're about.
As long as everything works out, good.
I think if it, you know, he's already talking, if this thing goes like they think it is next fall, he's wanting to start looking at expanding that storage facility. It's one of those things I think they're always going to have quite a bit of debt so long as cash flow will keep up with it. Because, you know, that's kind of their, you know, he's looking at that as his retirement income and an investment, this whole bit, you know, like some of the people do here.
Well, it's been moved and seconded to approve, but that. We can't really disperse on that due to his size. Of
until
loan.
We have all
they need
all the board majority members. Board member
four of at least two more board members because I'm voting in favor
in
of
favor.
It. Yeah. Since you seconded, I assume so. Are you?
Yeah.
So see, I've got two, and then I'll get hold of two more. I was going to see Orville, but he didn't get in here until after he was gone. So that's the only one I have.
Any other loans?
No other loans to be discussed.
I got a couple things here, but we'll. The one is in regard to the retail non-deposit investment. Just to kind of bring us up to speed, Mark has tentatively accepted our offer for employment, but since he's going to be a dual employee, you really don't need to put this in the minutes. And I'll catch up the board up to speed. I just want us to know because it has some loan relevance. He was interviewed by LCL. Larry Harb interviewed him over the telephone yesterday, and Larry called me this morning. That's who had called about 7:30 and said everything went fine. What we have set up is Mark's going up to Chicago at LCL's office on for Monday evening, Tuesday, and Wednesday training. The Monday evening and Tuesday training will be very specific for him, their workflow, their forms. He'll get to meet these people. On Wednesday, then, he'll be in a little bit of a larger group. There may be four or five other asset managers with him discussing sales motivations and sales approaches and strategies. Larry said he doesn't know how Mark's going to plug into us philosophically and how well he's known into the area. He said that's our decision, of which I'm comfortable with. I wanted Larry to tell me how he thinks he's going to do plugging into selling, and he said, "Oh, he should do very well." So though that looks good. What I did, kind of in regard to that, was. And I don't have this date finalized, but I'm trying to go maybe the second week of January to have a representative of Banker Systems come here to do some specialized training within the qualified retirement plan area. Mark needs an understanding of, not a detailed understanding, but how all these qualified plans work. So that he can have, so he understands how his products plug into the self-directed IRAs, SEPs, and the like. We also, it would do us good to know what products we can offer under those qualified retirement plans. So Ray Gallino, I believe is his name, is supposed to come down. I haven't set up a date, but he'll be here on it for a day, and I wanted him to talk with Marianne, myself, and sometime during the day to the two of you, because as loan officers, you have a good handle on borrowers and can kind of tell them of these SEPs and some of the other products. We've kind of hesitated in offering those. Well, we have not offered the self-directed. Offering the self-directed we're getting is simply we need to get a 50 different forms. Instead of called an IRA, it's called an IRA SD for self-directed. And then that will allow people to, if they don't want all their funds in a bank CD as our custodial IRA arrangement. See, the existing IRA says all those funds have to be in First National Bank of America. The self-directed, the participant signs an investment direction where he directs the investments. They sign the form and then you invest in whatever they want to. How that works, like with the SEPs, the SEP has a vehicle, has to be connected to the IRA. So we take the SEP off the shelf, and then if the person wants that money put into a bank CD, then we just use our custodial IRA forms. If they want a self-directed SEP, you take the same SEP form off, but you're using a different IRA. You're not using the custodial IRA arrangement. An SEP must have an IRA attached to it. So that
the IRAs all fit in the same plan. They're just different boxes checked off of this overall plan. That the overall plan is what you're talking about. Goes back. That's what the IRS is blessed.
Right.
Is the framework, and so long as you stay within the framework in some combination, you're okay.
Exactly. So I had talked with Rick Brady today, and he's going to send me those forms so we can take a look at them. The thing which makes it a little more complicated, but it's really not a cost, it's kind of a flip-flop in that he recommended we don't try and do the account maintenance on those self-directed IRAs ourselves because of how complicated the law is and all this. So, I mean, coincidentally, Banker Systems offers a comprehensive account maintenance service.
Isn't that a surprise?
That's such a surprise.
Yeah.
And what we would do is they would take care of the account maintenance in a similar manner, if you will, as they take care of the other qualified plans. We send them the information.
But they print it.
They crank out the numbers, and they file whatever needs to be filed. That it's really not going to cost us. It's going to be pretty much of a swap. Right now, we use their 800 number and their newsletter for the IRAs. We don't have their comprehensive service. We have their IRA service. And that runs about $300 a year. If you go to the comprehensive account maintenance, the 800 number is included and the newsletter is included. So we would drop $300 off. The account maintenance, comprehensive account maintenance would cost us $500. But what you do is he estimates it'd be $500 for a minimal number of accounts. Banker System charges $35 an account. And he said under a self-directed arrangement, he's seen charges to maintain a self-directed IRA anywhere from $40 to $150. And I think $150 is a lot to maintain a self-directed IRA.
So you mean that we could pass that back to the customer?
Right. That's
what you're saying.
Right.
They charge us $500 plus $35 per account.
Well, he thought he's going to send me down the information. You know how the typical salesman, they talk in kind of nebulous terms, but he thought they have a minimum number of accounts.
Is covered, if you will, by the 500.
Yes. Okay. And so he said, the way I understood it, let's say 500 would cover the 800, which is very, very helpful service, mm-hmm. and the maintenance for, let's say, 20 accounts. Well, if we had 10 accounts, we would charge $550 on account, it'd be $500. It's really kind of a switch around. But what that would, I think it would be good for the five or six of us to have Gallineau down here can kind of explain what products we can offer from the bank side. Mark needs to know that, and we all need to know that, and then we can figure out how Mark's, the products that LCL is going to offer, will plug into that. And it's, I was thinking of sending Mark up there for a week, but you know, he's up there a week, he's going to learn a lot of very technical information, such as like those Section 415 excesses that I was talking about. You really don't need to know the technical nitty-gritty about it, because that's what Banker Systems does. They take care of the nitty-gritty. So it's going to be less expensive to have Gallineau come here instead of one person going up to Minnesota for a week and then trying to bring back the information. We're going to have Gallineau come down here for a day, and he won't touch any specific complicated items such as 415 excesses or ACP testing or that. Because Marianne and I kind of know that. But if we don't know that, like that 415 excess, I called the 800 number and they went through the explanation where the IRS changed the deduction.
Just a question from a mechanic. Who's going to hold the account? Is LCL going to hold the account? Is the bank going to hold the account? Who has, you know, you're talking about bank products and LCL products. Like before, the trust department, if you will, held the account. That's physically where it was. Mm-hmm. You know, is the plan going to be in the bank, or will the plan be in LCL, or is the plan just kind of nebulous?
Well, the SEP and the IRA will be First National Bank of Minnesota.
Okay, that's
but,
what I mean.
But those
bank products, if you will, we offer those, and then LCL will have, within that plan, they'll have things you can buy if you want to direct it that way. If you don't want a CD, or if you want something else, you could direct it that the money's be used to buy some mutual fund or some bond fund or something.
Right. And how I envision that then, we would get the statement from LCL for the mutual fund holdings. Okay. Let's say the person also had a CD. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, it doesn't matter how
like
they split
we do
it.
Now.
And then what we would have to do is pull that information together. We would get LCL's statement as of the end of the year, what the income was and what the balance was. We would then have to, if they had a CD, pull that in. We would report that up to Banker Systems, and they would then combine that and produce the report. That's why there's normally a cost and they'll self-directed, because it's not, with our CDs now, that information, that's the whole account, and whatever's out there on the wrap record just passes right up, and the CD and the wrap information retirement mm-hmm. account processing system talk together. When you get another vendor in here like LCL, we physically have to put the papers together, but it's not that complicated.
But the name of his office is going to be LCL. It's not going to be First National Bank.
Right, right. I love expansions of business. It took me 45 minutes to get a phone number. The phone number, by the way, is what the phone number will be. But this is things that I'm anxious for Mark to get here, because I'm getting tuckered out trying to get all these nitty-gritty things. It's not tough to get the phone number. But see, they need the phone number in order to order letterhead, mm-hmm. in order to have business cards. LCL in Chicago needs that to get that process going.
Is the LCL accounts going to be maintained here? I mean, is it going to be a separate, they're going to have an account in Chicago for the funds to pass through, or is it going to be passed through funds here at the bank, or is that...
Well, what we'll do is those will probably wire transfer out.
Goldman's or something.
Well, through the Fed. I think what will happen, but Mark will find this out, and I mean, we'll get involved in it. And I'm not, whichever way it goes is fine, but probably the most sophisticated way will be everyone who buys a fund or whatever, that money will go into a clearing account here, and then we will... Either LCL will ACH it out of us, or we'll physically wire it up there. There may be, $100,000 in there, which may represent three people's or four people's purchases. And then Mark faxes the paperwork up to LCL, and they do the suitability testing. And then they know what products have been bought. And then on the other side, we do a wire transfer to physically get the money up there. I think that's how that's going to work. Same type of thing.
Custodial account.
We collect money, put it in account, and then we tell them how much of it is theirs, and by calling up there and that dial deal, and then they zap it the next day.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, that's the same way that American Express with the traveler's checks work. When we sell traveler's checks, we put that money in a clearing account, and then Leanne or Joyce or Norm or somebody calls, who's ever doing that job, calls a number, and we report how much in sales we had, and they hit the account the next day and take the money out. But that's kind of the mechanics of the flow of funds. But to answer your question, Bill, is that LCL, that office will not say First National Bank of Memphis or anything of the nature. His card will be LCL Investments at First National Bank of Memphis. The letterhead will be LCL. There needs to be a separate phone line going to that office. Now, when we get this receptionist set up, the receptionist will also answer it. But when they pick up the phone, you know, we'll put it on a red line or a blue line or something like that. When they pick up that line, like we do with Bob's number, you know, they pick up and they'll say LCL Investments. But they also, these are requirements by LCL, and it's also requirements by, NASDAQ or whomever, and the comptroller, that they don't want us, when that line rings, we're not going to pick it up and go, hello, First National Bank of America. And they go, oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about a mutual fund. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, you do have LCL investments. I mean, these are some of the nitty-gritty things they talk about in the regulation, and I'm pretty confident they'll implement those out.
Is Luke going to carry on his other livelihood that he had before through that office, or is he totally out of the insurance business?
He was meeting with, they had a regional meeting, or meeting with their regional manager today, and he was going to tell him that he's plans to take a job here. Common courtesy says that he needs to give him 2 weeks' notice. But the practice within the industry, and Larry Mark said this, and also Larry Harb said this, so I know it's not Mark's employer, it's just within that industry. As soon as a person says, I've decided to move on to another customer or another employer, then come in.
Did you need to talk to Marie?
I'll see if she's going to be at a number where I could talk to her in maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes, or else I'll give her a call tomorrow.
Okay.
As soon as they get notice, they typically say, well, fine, thanks for the 2 weeks' notice, but it's effective today. And then they electronically transfer his licenses to LCL.
Okay.